how are you positioning your business, your brand, to attract new clients with ease? How are you showing up, making yourself an authority in your space, speaking like you are the expert that you are, and being able to communicate and put out there the message and your offers that you need to in order to attract new clients, in order to build that trust so your clients, future clients, your leads, community, audience, whatever you want to call them, they're out there saying, holy shit, they know what they're doing. I need to work with them.
You're listening to the It's a Vibe podcast, the show that'll give you the talk and tools to elevate your online business and create a brag-worthy brand experience that will turn your dream clients into raving fans. Whip up your favorite cocktail, grab a seat, and let's take a sprinkle more intentional action so that you can finally make your business the total joyride it deserves to be. Let's do this.
Buckle up, because today is going to be an episode. Sarah here from Rebel Office, and your guide today to auditing your client experience. Auditing is such a big thing, and I'm really excited to dive in because it's something that's really underrated and needs to be prioritized. I cannot stress that enough. If you do not have the systems in your business to regularly check in and audit and review and look at what's working and what's not, then quite frankly, everything that you're doing is just like shooting in the dark. You know what I mean? Like, you are just then going off of what you think maybe worked based on a feeling instead of looking at the numbers and the data and saying, okay, that didn't perform as well as I thought it did, or that isn't generating as much money as I thought it was, or that's generating more than I thought it was, and I'm not giving it the attention. There's so many benefits to auditing your business in general. And today I want to talk about specifically auditing your client experience. It's one kind of part. If you're inside the Elevation Lab and have access to the lounge, our exclusive Rebel Office community, we do a quarterly audit workshop, 3 hours live. All get together and use that time, some accountability, to audit our businesses. And a piece of that audit is looking at your client experience. Now, it should happen regularly, and things change, tools change, feedback comes in. You're always operating from new information. So even as, for example, if you have our elevated experience module and you've gone through and strategically designed your client experience, things will change. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, continuous improvement is a thing. It needs to be more accepted and normalized in business. Almost everything that we do in our businesses is not set it and forget it thing. There's always going to be optimization that's required. There's always going to be review and refinement, and that's okay if that's a part of the gig. So just being okay with that and accepting that, yeah, things are going to change. The tools that are available on the market are going to change. They're going to get better. There's going to be new ones, and looking at, okay, am I using the best one to deliver the best experience? We're going to go through all of it. There's 4 to 5 areas that I want you to seriously look at when you're looking at your client experience and starting to audit it. And I'm going to walk through it. These are 5 areas that we focus on. If you've ever done the assessment for our client experience, this is what we look at, these 5 kind of key areas to be able to provide recommendations to you to make sure that things are as optimized or you have as much perspective as possible in these kind of core areas of client experience. Number one, we're just going to dive right in. Are you ready? Number one, are your offers. This one's kind of obvious. You all know I talk about offers a lot. Go back to past podcast episodes, listen to the show, and just dive in on this. But the ultimate question that you're asking is, are my offers clear, your products and services, and are they diverse? This is really where you look at your offer suite as a whole and say, is it strategic? Is it leading to places? Is everyone prepared when they come into an offer? What needs to be before? Where do they go after? Do you have a diverse offer suite? And is it clear what the next step is and where your clients need to come in at? And your clients are going to be at different points in their journey. That's fine. That's the benefit of having a diverse offer suite. is that someone who maybe is more just getting started or learning about these concepts or in kind of the problem awareness phase, you may have a low ticket, low cost offer that they can start to build that awareness in, do the pre-work before going into your next one. And then once they get into that next one, where do they go next? So once they've gone through and worked through maybe your core signature service, then how do you really, what's there to be able to dive even deeper with them? What's kind of more elite offer? There's so many different ways. And again, check out our elevated offers module for this because I dive way deeper into it. But ultimately, you want to check out, do you feel like there is enough opportunity to reach your target audience at whatever stage they're at? And do you feel like each step is clear? You really want to make sure that your offers are not competing with each other. This is probably the number one thing I see with clients who come in either for our offer strategy intensives or CX audits, whatever it is. There's always seems to be a couple offers that are fighting against each other for attention for your audience, and you do not want that. It is okay to not pack everything into an offer just so that it gets dealt with. Focus on one piece of the journey and then have another offer that focuses on the next. Why not? Then you can actually focus on getting a clear transformation instead of just trying to deliver this huge one. Break it down. That allows you to have a more diverse offer suite, a more clear process, and it allows you to also increase the client lifetime value of each of your clients. They stay with you longer, they spend more, they like working with you more, you have a longer relationship. It just makes sense. So that's something to look at when you're looking at your offers. The second area that you want to look at is your aesthetics. So this may seem a little fluffy, but I promise you it is not. There is so much strategy behind how you visually present your business, your brand experience. It really comes down to, are you visually appealing to your ideal client? A lot of us build our brands with, what do I like? What are my interests? I'm attracted to this. And while that's obviously a part of it, you want your personality to come through in your brand. You want to align with your brand. But a piece that's oftentimes very missed, is it strategic to bring in your ideal client? Does it attract to them? Does it bring in or speak to their values and their core interests and those pieces to then be able to catch their attention, cut through the noise, and bring them in? And it's a difficult conversation to have. I'll be honest, I've had some sticky conversations with clients where you have to say, look, I don't think you are visually as elevated as one, you can be, and two, that you need to be in order to position your brand in a way that's going to attract the clients that you want at the price point you want. And sometimes it really does take that honest conversation to say, look, there's room for improvement here. Let's dive in and figure out what that is. And when you're going through an audit in your client experience, I want you to ask yourself that question. Like, where am I maybe not as polished as I need to be? Or where am I maybe leaning more into my own interests than actually speaking to my ideal client? And you've got to be honest with yourself. And then you have to come up with an action plan to fix it. Whether that's outsourcing, whether that's working on it kind of piece by piece, whatever it is, this is an opportunity that is so missed a lot of the times. And I think a lot of it too is like, okay, well, I don't need to look nice in order to deliver value. 100%. You don't. But if you want to make sales easier, if you want to grow your audience quicker, if you want to scale to a level that your brand is recognized, at a larger scale, I just said scale twice, then yeah, your aesthetic is important. And it's not really to be overlooked, especially if we're thinking about building long-term kind of sustaining brands here, which I think is what we're all doing here. That's what I'm doing here with Rebel Office. So food for thought. Third area that you want to look at is your communication. So where can communication be increased? I say this all the time. I've said it before. I will definitely say it again. I'd say 9 times out of 10, any sort of bad client experience that happens comes down to poor communication. It comes down to something like boundaries weren't communicated properly or expectations weren't managed. Where can that communication be increased? And I'll speak to the fourth area as systems and kind of the automations piece. But the benefit of that and the benefit of automating is that that gives you back the time and space so that you can show up for your clients and communicate more with them and be there for them and present for them. And that's really where one area is. And that's something we'll talk about next. But in terms of communication, should you be doing more check-ins? Do you have your clients messaging you being like, hey, don't know where that's at? What's next? Or what's going on? Or what are you doing? Or what should I be doing? Any of those questions, if you're experiencing those, you really need to look at your communication and go back to your workflows and say, okay, where can I increase communication? Maybe I need a kickoff call that breaks it down step by step so that that's clear and those questions aren't happening. Maybe I need to have check-in calls available for my clients to be able to book as needed, or like SOS calls or whatever you want to call them. Maybe you need to do regular updates. This was something that Rebel Office experienced. So we went out, mapped out, we standardized our process for our client experience design, our custom kind of larger ticket packages. We standardized it as much as we could so that we could prepare for weekly updates to say, this is where your project's at. This is what we've done. This is what's on our radar next. And this is what we need from you every week. Because our clients are making a big investment and that's not something that we just brush off. And I recognize I've been there, those larger investments. You're like, hey, like, yikes, like, what's going on? What do I do? What's my money going towards? And that's something that we did not want to create in our client experience. So it's something we've worked really hard at really standardizing and bringing in to be able for us to deliver on and make it a bit more of a simple process or easier for us to maintain with the workload, but then also for them so that they're like actually in the loop. It's really important. So food for thought there, but number three is communication. Number four, as I mentioned, is systems. So where are the opportunities to automate and streamline? I am big on systems. I think that they're important, that they add value to your client experience, because not only can you streamline and take in more clients, but as I said, it creates that time and space for you to actually show up and be present and deliver truly 100% all in to your clients that you do have. So when you're auditing your systems, where are the opportunities to automate and streamline? Looking at your offers, can you standardize things? Looking at how you onboard and deliver and offboard, can you standardize those things? Looking at the tools that you use, is there anywhere that you're maybe not using all of the automation features? If you have a client relationship management tool, a CRM like Honeybook or Dubsado, are you using those features? Or are you just still doing pieces manually? I mean, honestly, as long as your assets are in there, that's still better than nothing. So you're not building from scratch. But if you have tools in your business, use them. This is a great opportunity for you to review your tech stack and say, okay, like maybe I have three tools when one of those tools can do what all three are doing. And I just haven't taken the time to make it work the way that I need to. And this is really, again, where you create that bit of an action plan to say, okay, how can I streamline my tech stack? How can I? This is also the concept of a lean business, right? Obviously, there's more pieces to being lean than just your systems, but it's one way where you can start and say, okay, where can I simplify? Where can I streamline? Where can I automate things? And two, I'm just going to call you out. I know this is something I personally went through as well with systems and automation. If I automate everything or if my tools are doing everything for me, then what do I do? I had a really big personal problem with building space into my calendar and in my life because I was like, I don't know what I'll do with myself if I had that space. And it's funny because I remember I started Rebel Office for that freedom, right? I think many of us do. And I remember someone speaking to this and I was like, yeah, right. Like if I had all the space in the world, that'd be great. And then once I had it, I was like, yikes, I don't know what I'm doing. What do I do? How do I make myself busy? And yeah, we don't want that. We don't want that. So that's just something to prepare yourself for. And if you're finding resistance around automating or streamlining or simplifying and really using your systems as a way to make that space for you and scale your business, then just check in internally, because I know that's something I personally went through. And when you can name that, it's a little bit easier to say, okay, that's ridiculous. Like, time to build my systems now. Anyway, food for thought. But look at your tech stack. Look at where there's opportunities to automate and look at how you can actually use your tools to do what they need to do. And the fifth area that I want you to look at when you're auditing your client experience is your client acquisition. So this kind of ties into communication instead of really all of it, but how are you positioning your business, your brand, to attract new clients with ease? How are you showing up, making yourself an authority in your space, speaking like you are the expert that you are, and being able to communicate and put out there the message and your offers that you need to in order to attract new clients, in order to build that trust so your clients, future clients, your leads, community, audience, whatever you want to call them, they're out there saying, holy shit, they know what they're doing. I need to work with them. That's really what client acquisition is about. And then, of course, on the tactical side of it, it's okay. Then you go in and review, what's my conversion rate on sales calls? What's my intake, or how do I say this? Like the inquiry form, like how many inquiries am I getting? Do I need to increase that? Do I not? That's where the more like quantitative piece comes in. But it's really starting with, am I positioned properly? And again, that's where your aesthetic kind of comes in, because it can really help with this if done right. And then it's like, okay, now what are the results? What's going on? How can I increase where I want to increase? How can I reduce any friction where there's friction? And this is also where you look at sales objections. So what kind of questions are people asking that's maybe leading them to not buy from you and invest in you? Then build those pieces into your content system so you address those ahead of time, so that you're getting the most qualified people in inquiring and ready to fucking go. Okay. Those are the five areas I want you to look at with your client experience. And I know client acquisition specifically is experience, but I like workflow wise, but I do talk about this a lot, that, and that's the whole point of the client magnet method. It's this holistic approach to your client experience. It's everything. It's how you communicate. It's how you show up before, during, and after, so that you can build that relationship and build that truly fully encompassing experience for future, current, and past clients, which will then hopefully become current clients again, right? So it's all this system, this ecosystem that I want you to start considering and looking at from a strategic standpoint. It is so important, and there are so many opportunities here to really start doing your business smarter instead of working so hard. That was my take on the smarter, not harder thing, but it came out weird. So I hope you picked up on that. Anyways, there's five areas I want you to look at. If you have any questions, by all means, reach out to us on Instagram at Rebel Office, or grab one of the modules or all of them, the bundle in the Elevation Lab. They really target these key pieces. Elevated aesthetic, obviously aesthetics. Elevated offers, obviously the offers. Elevated experience, your systems. Elevated sales, client acquisition. It is all there. Okay. And it is all ready for you to dive in. So go check it out. Let me know if you have questions, and have fun looking at your business and saying, okay, great, I did the best I could with what I had, the information I had. Now, let's make it better. Okay, it's all an experiment. You're doing great. Go enjoy.
Thanks for tuning into the It's a Vibe podcast with Rebel Office. Now go put on your favorite playlist and start taking that elevated, intentional action. But don't forget to make the space you need and have fun working on your business, because that's what it's all about after all. Until next time, cheers.